And that is the question, what is the Church of Christ? What is the Church of Christ? If you go to Google or a search engine on your internet or to a phone book, does anyone use a phone book anymore? How quickly things change. Oh, yeah, I know Ron does. Ron raised his hand. Ron uses the phone book. There's a few who still do. If you go to the phone book, the yellow pages, if you go to Google and you search for Church of Christ, you're liable to find a number of different things. You would find something that's called the United Church of Christ. You would find the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, more commonly known as the Mormon Church. You would find Church of Christ Scientists. You would find the International Churches of Christ. And then you would find you would not be able to distinguish them by just the name that is on the internet, but there are a number of other Churches of Christ that use that term or use that title that would have a variety of different beliefs. And so we won't need to this evening go into what all different beliefs may be a part of what of churches that use that term, that title, Churches of Christ. And so as we ask the question this evening, what is the Church of Christ? We're looking for a Bible answer. We're looking for a Bible answer. What is the church? And what does it mean to be of Christ? We know from Romans 16, 16, most of you know that there is several designations, a couple different designations for God's people in the New Testament. One of them is the phrase churches of Christ. Romans 16, 16 says that the churches of Christ greet one another with a holy kiss or a kiss of love. The churches of Christ salute or greet you. And so Paul uses that descriptor, that phrase, Church of Christ, to describe the churches. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul talks about the Church of God, which is at Corinth. And so the phrase Church of God is found several times. The phrase Church of Christ is found. And God's faithful people through the years have used that term, Church of Christ, to describe themselves on their buildings. But as we say, as we look at those that designation, or we look at that title, we have to look a little bit deeper under the surface to answer that question. So what is the Church of Christ as we think about a biblical answer? If we're searching for a Bible answer. And so we have two different pieces of that, Church of Christ or Churches of Christ. First of all, we need to see the meaning of church. What does the word church mean? And then the second, what does it mean to be of Christ? If we talk about the church, we talk about the Church of Christ, what does that mean? And so that's what we're going to look at a little bit this evening. The word church in the New Testament, of course, is a common word. The word church in the English language is found 111 times in the New Testament. That's from the new, I did my search on my Bible program in the new in the American Standard Version. I'm pretty sure it's pretty close to that in other versions as well, the King James or the New King James or the New American Standard. But approximately 100 to 110 times in the New Testament, we see this word church. Some examples that you would be well familiar with, Matthew 16, 18, Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I will build my church," Jesus said. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 11, it says, "And great fear came upon the whole church." There in particular, it was talking about the church in Jerusalem, because at that time in Acts chapter 5, we see that there was a negative miracle, we might say. Ananias and Sapphira lost their lives because they lied to the Holy Spirit. And so because of that punishment, great fear came upon the whole church. In Acts 9, verse 31, it says, "So the church throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace." If you see there in Acts chapter 9, that was at the end of the chapter where Saul of Tarsus was converted. And he had been persecuting. He had been the ringleader leading the Jewish people against the Christians. And so, after he was converted and became a child of God and a preacher himself, it said the church had peace. So that's not surprising. The opposition lost their leader. Now, they would find other leaders to oppose the church, and the persecution would start again. But at least for this point in time, there was peace. And here the word church is used of Judea and Galilee and Samaria. The word church is in the singular, so the church. But it's talking clearly in that context about a number. There would have been a number of congregations in Judea and Galilee and Samaria. Those are regions. It would be like us saying the church in Florida and Georgia and Tennessee. Those were regions, and so there would have been multiple congregations. So the church is used sometimes of a singular congregation of people, but sometimes it's used of God's people in a wider sense. We see in Acts 14, verse 23, and he had appointed for them elders in every church. That's where Paul and Silas had gone preaching the gospel, and as they worked their way back through the churches where they had established, they appointed elders in every church. That would be a reference to a local congregation, in each local congregation. Romans 16, 1 talks about Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church. Romans 16, 16, we mention all the churches of Christ salute you. 1 Corinthians 1, 2, we mention the church of God, which is at Corinth. And then in 1 Thessalonians 1, 1, the church of the Thessalonians. I didn't have room to write it out, so I abbreviated the church of the Thessalonians. So what is the church? What does this word church mean? That was some references, and as we said, there's over 100 in the New Testament. But what does this word church mean? Well, it comes from the Greek word ekklesia. The Greek word ekklesia. And Vine says it's from ek. The first part of ekklesia is ek, which means out of. And kalesis, a calling, from kaleo, to call. The Greek word kaleo means to call. And so ekklesia, the called out, out of, to call. And Vine says was used among the Greeks of a body of citizens gathered to discuss the affairs of state. And he uses the example in Acts 19, verse 39. We'll see more about that. But in Acts 19, there was this riot. And in that chapter, the word church, assembly, is used of those who had come out of their homes to riot. But it's also used of the assembly of people who are assembled peaceably to discuss political or civic issues. And so it's simply a body of citizens. A group of citizens that have come together is the ecclesia. He notes there in the middle of that quote, in the Septuagint, S-E-P-T for Septuagint. In the Septuagint, it is used to designate the gathering of Israel, summoned for any definite purpose, or a gathering regarded as representative of the whole nation. And so an assembly, when we think of church, we need to think of people. An assembly of people. And so whether it's a body of citizens that have come out of their homes into a assembly to make decisions for their community or for the state, or whether we're talking about a group of people that come together for a religious assembly, it is an assembly of people. It is a group of people. When we think of church, don't think of building. It's not a building. Church is people. Was that loud enough for you?
Yeah.
Sorry, Adeline. I didn't mean to scare you. Did I scare Adeline? I'm sorry. I've known to do silly things before. The church is not a building. The church is not a corporate group of people under a diocese that has many rulers and heads and pieces and things that come down. But it is people, saved people, the people of God. And so the ecclesia is assembly. Therefore, ecclesia refers to an assembly or to a group of people. And as we've already referenced from Acts chapter 19, verse 32, Some cried, it says, some therefore cried one thing and some cried another, for the assembly was in confusion. Hear the word assembly again. It's the same word for ekklesia. It's the Greek word ekklesia, assembly. And so we made the reference to this where there was this riot that was going on because the apostles were preaching and some stirred up the people against the apostles. And so there was this riot going on in Ephesus and it calls it a church. The people came out of their homes. There was great confusion. There was this riot going on. It says, for the assembly was in confusion. And so the word church just means assembly. Later in that same chapter, one of their leaders was trying to quiet the crowd and calm the crowd and says, don't make a riot. If you have any problems, verse 39, if you seek anything about other matters, it'll be settled in the regular ecclesia, the regular assembly. In other words, he's talking about the properly called assembly to settle matters of a civic nature in our city, where the people would come together and make rules or make determinations about matters. And so the term ecclesia is used twice there in that chapter of something besides a spiritual body of people. So the ecclesia is God's assembly. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my ecclesia. I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. In Acts chapter 8, verse 1, there arose in that day a great persecution against the ecclesia, which was in Jerusalem, the church that was in Jerusalem. 1 Corinthians 1, 2, we've already seen, unto the ecclesia of God, which is at Corinth. But look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Look over there if you want to in your Bibles. But here in 1 Peter chapter 2, we have, I think, a very important definition of the church, even though the word church is not found. The word ecclesia is not found in these two verses. But it's a very important passage that helps us to understand what the church is all about. Peter says here to Christians, but ye, plural, ye are an elect race, a chosen race of people. He's not talking about a physical race of people like the Chinese people or the African people or the Caucasian people. He's not talking about physical races. He's talking about a spiritual race of people. You're an elect race and a royal priesthood, a priesthood that serves a king, King Jesus. And a holy nation, a nation called out under that king, and a people for God's own possession. Notice here, he says, you're a people. You're a group of people for God's own possession. These others are all plural. You are an elect race, a race of people. You are a royal priesthood. Priesthood is a plural kind of word. It's not one priest, but a priesthood. You're a holy nation. A nation is made up of many. You're a people for God's own possession. What's their purpose? What is our purpose? He's talking here to Christians. He's talking about the church. Again, as we said, the word ecclesia is not in these verses, but that's exactly who he's talking about. He says, you're a people for God's own possession. We belong to God. That's who the church, that's a great definition, isn't it, of the church. The church is those who belong to God, belong to Jesus Christ. What's our purpose? That ye may show forth the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Our purpose is to show the praises, to sing the praises of God, to show to the world the excellencies of God, to show to the world how wonderful our God is who saved us. That ye may show the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness. There's the word called out, kaleo. Not in the form of ecclesia, but he says, who called you out of darkness. A form of the word, but not the exact word. He has called you. That's who the church is. The church is those who have been called out of something. What have we been called out of? We've been called out of our homes into an assembly where we make decisions about whether the stop right lights are going to be red or green. No, we're not a civil assembly, but we're an assembly. We've been called out of what? We've been called out of darkness. It's a spiritual assembly. It's a spiritual relationship. You've been called out of darkness into what? Into light. What's that light? That's the blessings and the grace of God, forgiveness, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And God says we must walk in light and not walk in darkness anymore. And so he called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who in time past were no people. This is a direct reference to Hosea in the Old Testament. In times past, you were no people, but you're now the people of God. That's who we are. We're the people of God. Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We were in darkness and had not obtained mercy, but now we are alive. We are walking in the light as he is in the light. We have obtained mercy because we've accepted the forgiveness of our sins through the blood of Jesus Christ, and we are walking in his path. That's what the church is. The church is those who are walking in his path. The church are those who have been called out of darkness into his light. It's those who are the people of God. It's those who have obtained mercy. Okay? So that tells us something about ourselves. That tells us something about what the church is. In the book of Ephesians, we see an emphasis upon the ecclesia, the church. A number of passages in this book. The term ecclesia is found 11 times just in the 6 chapters of the book of Ephesians, and more references to that where the term is not used. It's one of the themes of what this book is all about. Go back and study it. In the beginning, he says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, through the will of God, to the saints. What are saints? Well, saints are those who are sanctified, those who have been set apart, those who are called, is another way of saying that. Saints are those who have been called out of the world. We're sanctified or set apart for a special purpose. They're holy. Set apart is the idea of being set apart or holy. And so to the holy ones. And the holy ones that are at Ephesus, who it's written to, the faithful, we talked about faithfulness in class this morning and the importance of developing a faithful character. The faithful that are in Christ Jesus. That's what he wants us to be. That's what we are if we are him and we're walking with him. And so grace to you and peace, etc. So Paul writes, again, he doesn't use the word ecclesia, but he says to, he does many other places in this book. In these two verses, the word ecclesia is not there, but the idea is there to the saints. Paul is writing to the saints that are at Ephesus. On our sign, we could say, instead of Lake Gibson Church of Christ, we could say the saints that are meeting on Socrum in Lake Gibson in Lakeland. It'd be a little long, a little hard to get on there. We'd take up the whole sign just putting that on there. But that's what we are. We are saints that are meeting at a particular location in Lakeland. We're the called out. There's other groups that have been called out by God. But we are the called out of God that are meeting at a particular location. Here Paul's writing to the saints that were at Ephesus. Here in chapter 1, verse 3, he talks about blessed be that he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. The church or the ecclesia are those who are in Christ, that relationship, that phrase is used over and over and over again in the first chapter of Ephesians. Those who are in Christ, those who are in him, those who are in the beloved. It shows a relationship. We are in him, not physically in him, but relationship-wise, we are in him. We have a relationship with him through Jesus, and we have a relationship with the Father. We are called adopted sons. How are we adopted sons? Well, we weren't deserving of being sons, but he adopted us into his family through the blood of his son. We have received grace in the beloved, in Christ. In verse 6, we have received grace in the beloved. Who is the beloved? That's Christ. And so we said this phrase, in Christ, in him, in the beloved. That idea of being in, having a relationship with Jesus over and over again in this chapter. Those redeemed, verse 7, through his blood. And other phrases here. It is the idea of a relationship with God through Jesus Christ who has made salvation possible. And those who have done that are in him, are in his church. Another way of saying in his spiritual body. Again, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. And he, talking about the Father, put all things in subjection under his feet, Christ's feet, and gave him to be head over all things to, there's our word, the ecclesia, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And so here the church is likened unto a body. Christ is the head. He made him head. He is the head. He is the sovereign. He is the ruler. He's head over a few things to the church. No. He's head over some things to the church. No. He's head over 75% of the things to the church, and he lets us decide the other 25%. No. He's head over all things to the church. He is the ruler. He is the head. He is the king. He is the sovereign. He alone has all authority, as he told his apostles right before he ascended back to the Father. The church is his bride. Another illustration here used in Ephesians. Those who have submitted to Jesus Christ as their head are the bride of Christ. We understand the marriage relationship. And so he is the husband and we are the bride. He is the head of the church, verse 23. The church, just as the wife is to be in subjection to her husband, so the church is subject to Christ. We submit to his leadership. We submit to his rule. We submit to his instructions. We submit to his guide. Jesus loved the church and gave himself up for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it, having washed it by the washing of water with the word. He sanctified and cleansed the church. So what is the church? What is the church of Christ? Well, the church is people. A church is people. Saved people. Changed people. Sanctified people. Redeemed and cleansed people. Submissive people. People who have a relationship with him, that are in him, in Christ Jesus. And so the church is people. The church is people, the people of God, changed people, sanctified and cleansed people by the blood of Jesus Christ, who have brought him. He has brought us into a relationship with God through him. And so the church of Christ just means belonging to Christ. That's all it means. When we say the church of Christ, we're not talking about one denomination of many among many in the world. We're talking about the church that belongs to Jesus. We're talking about the church that submits itself to Jesus. We're talking about the people. The people, a church, the assembly. The people, those people who belong to Jesus Christ. Who have been adopted by him. Who have been forgiven by him. Who submit themselves to him. They obey him and they honor him as their Christ and as their Lord. Let me give you an illustration. Suppose that Becky and I are going on a vacation and we call ahead and we get a bed and breakfast somewhere. And the fellow who owns the bed and breakfast says, I want it to be just like home to you. I want it to be like your room. And so I want everything to be exactly the way you want it. That fits you. And so I tell him, well, I like iced tea. He said, I'll buy iced tea and put it in the little refrigerator. There'll be plenty of iced tea for you. Unsweet iced tea, just the way you like it. And I say, well, I like sparkling water. I'm not drinking diet sodas anymore. The aspartame hurts my memory. And so just get sparkling waters that doesn't have aspartame. He said, I will do it. And I said, for snacking, I really like graham crackers and peanut butter. And he says, I'll do it. I'll get you plenty of graham crackers and peanut butter. And I said, I really like mixed nuts too. Becky buys this big thing at Sam's. It's about this big at Sam's, and it lasts me a while. And it's mixed nuts, but no peanuts. I don't want any peanuts in it. I just want mixed nuts without peanuts. And he says, I'll do it. And he does that. And he says, what kind of magazines do you like to read? And I said, I like golf. I'll buy you some golf magazines. And he says, I'll make sure the TV is on. What do you watch? I say, I watch Fox News. And I'll make sure that we get everything set just the way you want it. And so I get there, and instead of tea, there's coffee. As I don't drink coffee, I don't like coffee. This can't be my room. And not only that, there's Diet Coke. And I told them specifically, I'm not drinking Diet Coke anymore. And instead of graham crackers and peanut butter that I requested, that I wanted, he's got rye crackers, and I can't stand rye crackers. And I'm not doing dairy anymore, but he's got cheese spread in the room. And instead of mixed nuts, he's got candy bars. And instead of golf magazines, he's got Field and Stream. I don't know which end of a fishing pole to bait, but there's Field and Stream. And instead of Fox News, oh, dreaded CNN is on there. He said, here, Mr. Copeland, here's your room. And I said, this is not my room, because there's not a single thing in here that I requested. You said you wanted it to be like my home. This is not like my home. It's not Wilson's room. On the door, it may say Wilson's room. He may have put a nice sign, suite for Mr. and Mrs. Copeland. But it's not really what I wanted, is it? It's not what I requested. It's not what I asked for. And you could put Church of Christ on a building, but that doesn't make it a Church of Christ. An assembly that belongs to Jesus. If it's doing things that Jesus has not requested, it would be just as insulting if the Lord visited some of these churches that claim they're following Jesus and they walk in, he walks in, and they're doing all manner of things that he did not authorize and he did not want. And so today we have in the New Testament singing commanded. And Jesus walks into a modern church and there's instruments of music, and he would say, Where did I command that? Where did I instruct that? And Jesus teaches in his word that we're to partake of the Lord. The only authority we have is partaking of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. And yet modern churches do it monthly instead of weekly. They do it any day they want to do it, Monday through Saturday instead of the Lord's Day. And our Lord would say, who authorized this? Who authorized this? In the New Testament, we see prayers to God were said. Prayers through in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet modern churches pray to Mary and to the saints and all kinds of things. And in the New Testament, Jesus, through his apostles, instructed us to give as we are prospered. But some like to go back to the Old Testament and pull tithing in, or they do fundraising of different kind to make money for the church, none of which is authorized in Scripture. And we see the preaching of the gospel. The work of the church in the first century was the preaching of the gospel, and yet churches are filled with recreation and entertainment, things that are not in Scripture for the church to be involved in. And we see a simple New Testament organization of elders and deacons. But we see modern churches have a variety of organizations with different levels and things that cannot be found within the Word of God. And so I suggest to you that our Lord would walk into these establishments and say, why do you have my name on your sign out front? Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? That's what he said. Why call ye me Lord, Lord? Why do you call me Lord and Master when you're not doing what I ask you to do? So what is the Church of Christ? What is the Church of Christ? Well, scripturally, the Church of Christ, the church is people, just saved people. They made it meet in groups of 60 or 70 as we do here. They may meet in groups of 400 as they do in Temple Terrace, Florida. They may meet in groups of 4 or 5 like I used to preach to in Duluth, Minnesota. They may meet in groups of 6 or 7 or 8 in Guangzhou or Shanghai or Shenyang, China. But the church is simply people, God's people, saved people, sanctified people who have obeyed the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the church is of Christ when they listen to Christ. You can call yourself of Christ, but if you're not listening to Jesus, you're not of Christ. It's in name only. And so the church of our Lord is saved people who obey Christ and submit to his instructions, who worship as he has directed, who do the work that he has instructed them to do, who organize their congregations in the pattern that he left through his apostles for us today. That, as best as I can simply put it, is what the Lord's church is all about. Well, the lesson is yours for this evening. Get the songbooks out. We're going to sing a song of invitation. We haven't talked about the primary obedience to the gospel, but how does one become a member of the church of Christ? Well, what did Jesus say? What did Jesus tell his apostles when he went into all the world, sent them into all the world? He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And when an individual determines to submit their will to the will of God, determines to submit their will to the will of the Lord Jesus Christ, and wants to be one of his followers, the examples over and over again throughout in the New Testament make it clear that a person believes in the Lord Jesus with all his heart, is wanting and willing to repent of their sins. They want to confess the name of Jesus. They're willing and anxious to confess the name of Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord. And they submit to his instructions about baptism, wherein their sins are washed away and they are raised to walk in a new life. That's how one becomes a member of the Lord's church. If you need to do that tonight, let your will be known. We'll aid you in doing that while together we stand and while we sing.